Hi everyone, welcome to The Skinny, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of style, fashion, beauty, and living an empowered life. I'm your host, Shazan, a fashion and beauty expert in the industry for 20 plus years, a wife, mom of two, and I'm here to help you become your most beautiful and confident self from the inside out on a savvy budget. Hi guys, so we are going inside the life of a fashion stylist today, and I cannot wait. So before we do that, some people, when they hear stylist, they immediately think of a hairstylist, but hairstylists aren't the only stylists out there. There are amazing stylists, but it's in a whole different group, and these are fashion stylists. So for those of you who know me, you know that I love digging up information so I can share facts and details and all the little stats with you. So a wardrobe stylist or fashion stylist, just so that you know the difference, is someone who selects the clothing for like editorials, these layouts that we see in magazines and TV commercials and ad campaigns and music videos, concerts, public appearances made by the celebrities and for models. And also public figures. I mean, right now we have the whole campaign going on, and many times you don't realize that everyone that you see on TV has a stylist that's involved in their look, the overall look, somewhere or another. So one of the huge, huge moments of a stylist's career is when they have a client that actually makes it onto the best dressed list. That is like a feather in the cap and a huge door opener for many other opportunities. So stylists play a really incredible role in the fashion industry. And if you think that you're not a fashionista or you're not in the fashion industry, stylists actually are playing a huge role in your life too, even if you don't have them at home, as we all wish we did on a daily basis. But they're not only visionaries, they're also interpreters. They're the ones that translate the designs and trends from runways into the looks that are wearable and achievable in everyday world. So they're working with major companies to kind of bring it from the catwalk to the sidewalk into things that we wear on a daily basis. I have an amazing, amazing stylist with me today. She has been in the fashion industry for over 10 years, well-traveled. She's worked with some incredible people and has seen just about everything. Her name is Chanel, and she's also a fellow Jamaican, and she also grew up in Miami just like I did. And Chanel, welcome to The Skinny. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me. That was such an amazing welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here. I know that your schedule is extremely busy and you have a lot going on right now with Fashion Week. So truly appreciate you taking the time out to be with me this morning and to educate me and my listeners. Truly appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really, it's a pleasure.
You're a dream come true to a lot of people, many, many people. And the majority of the people at one point or another has wished that they had someone to help them with their style. So I remember I've been in the industry, Chanel, for a little over 20 years with fashion, and it's a celebrity here and makeup artist. And so I would have clients telling me all the time that they wish that they could take me home or they wish that I was there with them every morning to get ready. Does this sound like anything that you've heard?
Not, I mean, in some ways, but I guess maybe I'm like helping in other ways because my styling at the moment tends to really a lot be with sort of dream cast lifestyle of editorials. My mind is like a kind of like a movie that doesn't stop. So I would love definitely to also have a bit more one-on-one with people in developing their style, but it seems in the past or recently that my lending hand has kind of encouraged other stylists, other fellow stylists, and photographers moving mm-hmm. into this crazy, crazy world. giving them some floats to navigate and like swim through the water so they don't get eaten up. But
right. Mm-hmm. So tell me, within this crazy world, the fashion industry, who or what was your inspiration to get into styling?
Well, I will say one of the first times that I kind of realized was a dear friend of mine. We were in Milan and we were all at YED, which is Istituto Europeo di Design, for mm-hmm. fashion communication. We had styling as like a specialization. And she was more into styling. I actually didn't really understand what I did. I went to school for fashion design as well, but mm-hmm. I didn't really like sewing. I liked creating fabrics and putting them together. I like accessories, right. But I really liked putting prints and colors together. That was what I really, really loved. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of started doing it, and then I realized that there was something there that wanted to,
come out of you.
And, that's also when I discovered the like huge library of magazines that actually existed. Because mm-hmm. before, you know, you go to Barnes & Noble, you see Vogue, you see.
Right.
They are
right.
all fabulous. But then I went to Milan and I was like, Mondadori has amazing, this like, it's like a heaven, like stacks and stacks.
Wait, tell me that name again. For my listeners and for me.
Yeah, it's this amazing, huge bookstore. And this is where you go to get fashion magazines. This is where you go. And when I say they have, it's like walking to like a candy store for frivolous right. fashion, because there are stacks and stacks of magazines from every single country.
Oh my gosh, that sounds heavenly.
In different bindings and different paperweights and like different tones of color. You know, I also come mm-hmm. from advertising and graphic design background. So it's, I'm looking at all of these things, whether they come in book form, the size formats.
Right.
And these things aren't cheap either. You might just spend your good amount of money at the magazine shop and you'll walk through like yes. five magazines. You're like, oh wait, I just spent like $100 on the magazines. Yeah. But they're like collections and like.
In that moment, it's like you start rationalizing. And because I've seen some magazines and you come home and it's like, oh my gosh, that was like a week's worth of food.
Yeah. I collect them. Like, and you uh-huh. want to collect them because you're obsessed with the pages and what they open, what they offer. Yeah. And that was kind of like the beginning of like also having an, you know, having a love for entertainment and fashion, and I mean, in film mm-hmm. and TV, it's like merging these two worlds together. Like now right. I can create stories with clothes.
Right.
I mean, I'm very
like, it's completely inspirational. Yeah. Even the older magazines and, you know, fashion is like this merry-go-round. It's coming around one point or another. But what type of education is needed to become a stylist? Because you say you have a background in graphics and you went for fashion design, but is there a specific area of education that's needed if you want to become a stylist?
I think, because people ask this a lot, like, do you think you need to go to school to be a stylist? I don't think you need to go to school to be a stylist. I think you kind of are or you're not. And that will right. reflect in what you do and how you present yourself. Every schooling helps, though. Because schooling is not saying it's a negative. Everything helps. Everything will kind of come together and give you different influences for why you are the way you are. You know, right. I took art history, costume design. All these things have played into why I geared towards the way I dress people or where right. my inspiration comes from. It all helps. I think the arts is a huge inspiration when it comes to styling or painting. Anything like that is always really helpful. But I definitely really think it's like you can't teach it. You can have all the things, but you can't teach
Right. You have to have not only that, it's not only about the knowledge, my personal experience with it. It's not just about the knowledge, but you kind of, it's like something you really have to somewhat be born with, like that eye, you have to have an eye.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
for it.
You know, you can, you, and you can do it just like, you know, you can go to school, you can become a doctor, mm-hmm. but what separates one doctor from the other, I guess, is like
right.
that innate instinct, passion to do it. Like, it just,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you would think of something that no one else would think of. There's other ways to do it. And there's, of course, like the generic way that everyone's familiar with.
Right.
But
right.
there's always a bit of a twig of a touch that is
makes it your
own. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
How did you find, because I'm sure with having your own personal style and your own sense of self and interpretation with the fashion and fashion industry, how do you work with your clients and create your signature style but not impose your personal style on them? Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't always get what you want. You have to learn to compromise. And everybody, none of us are the same. We're all different. We're made to be different.
Right.
We are supposed to be different. So in the event of trying to look or resemble one another is just ridiculous because you're wasting time when you could just be being yourself. So, you know, while you may want to suggest a particular style for someone, it may not fit them or who they are. So you have to give them elements or light doses, you know, like you're working out, they have low impact, medium impact, high impact. So some people need low impact.
Right.
So you give them the low impact version of what this is for them so that they can adopt and step out. And, you know, for them, that may be a huge step.
So have you ever had to tell a client that's kind of like going in one direction and what they want to wear, like, no, that does not look good on you. I am not having you go out there and then have my name attached to that.
Yes, of course. I mean, if something looks absolutely batched, daggles, and that's like a made up word. You have to definitely, you know when to put your foot down and be like, no, I'm this is how it's going to be. Everybody loves to put their 2 cents in. It's just really funny sometimes. Like,
when you need like a cents collector at the door, leave your 5 cents at the door.
When I need it, I will ask for it. And I do sometimes, you know, sometimes you are, you know, you go through, it's not second guessing, but like, you know, you always want to wonder, is this right? Is this good? And then it's good to check yourself. It's good to have that reflection moment. Like, wait, should I or should I pull back or should I take, you know, that reevaluation before you send it out or before you put that final touch is always needed. And sometimes it's needed from someone else, but sometimes you do have to be very clear, like, thanks.
Yeah.
It'll be this though. Like, but
I've had a few strong minded clients. Yeah. That's what I will term them as. Strong minded. And you can't, they can't do for themselves because they'll tell you, I don't know how to do this, but they have an idea for themselves. And then you kind of run up against the whole thing of, okay, that may look great on this person, but this is not working
exactly
over here. Like,
not every,
you
not
need to hear me.
Yeah.
So how did you break into the fashion industry? What was that opportunity that kind of like opened that door for you?
I feel like it came in like glimpses maybe before I realized it. Cause sometimes I think back and I'm like, wait, you did, you know how you forget that you did things? Like, you literally like erase pieces of your life. You're like, wait, how did I forget that?
Yes, absolutely.
I was thinking back the other day, a long time ago when I was in Miami.
Yeah.
Someone had contacted me to like style a video shoot. I'm like, and I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I had no idea what I was doing. Like, zero clue. I was like, well, I need, like, lots of money to go buy these clothes.
Uh-huh.
Not not even realizing about PRs and
right,
and that there's a whole world and whole system about that. So like that was funny because I look back and I'm like, that was way before you even kind of realized anything. But
how? Because that's one of the things that I get a question of all the time. Like, if I want to become a stylist, do I have to have a lot of money to buy all of these clothes that I'm going to bring on the set with me? And what happens after they wear it?
Absolutely not. So I would say, like, you know, when I first, I felt like my first, once I, you know, I studied, like I said, I studied advertising and graphic design. That was the closest thing to entertainment mm-hmm. that I could find at UM. So that's what I did. And then I went to fashion school in Miami, but I wanted to come to New York, but, you know, out of state costs, all that stuff. So, and then I went to, ended up in Milan. And then when I was there, our professor would go on and on and on about the crystal ball of pop. And he just kind of dressed this entire fantasy that he wanted to be a part of.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I need this interview. I need to be a part of this interview, this Andy Warhol, this whole factory. I need this. So that's when I come to New York and
right.
and get an internship at Interview Magazine. And that's when, you know, I began to learn how it actually works.
Right.
How it works when you see what you see, when you go to the store and you buy a magazine, you flip the pages, the stories, the editors, all, everything that goes behind it. And that's how I learned.
Because there's so many layers. There's so many layers to, it's easy for us to like walk up in the grocery store or a bookstore and we're like flipping through a magazine. And, but there's so much that goes on behind every single page, every single picture or model that's there. It's like so many parts to that engine, you know, to just make it that final picture. For you, it's hours on end of coming up with the different looks and how you're going to pull them together and then fittings. And there's a whole lot that goes into a day.
Yeah.
For a stylist.
It's a lot yes. of, and then that's also when I realized that you don't buy clothes because who really has money to go purchase all these things and then return them. And then if something happens, you're in trouble.
Right. Like, so how do you go about doing it then? For a stylist that's out there now, what is the way of getting all of these different looks to bring it to the shoots or your clients? How do you go about pulling that stuff?
I would say internships are one of the strongest tools that you can use. It would be awesome if you know, you got paid for internships. They do that more like in Europe, but mm-hmm. America.
Or corporate, in corporate. Sometimes you'll get that. Yeah, in
some corporate settings you will. A few here and there. But yeah, America, you know. But anyway, so you're going to, you know, but this is it. If you really love fashion, you'll work for days for free because you love what you do.
Yeah,
and totally. And you know that you're gaining a lot of experience mm-hmm. that you can teach people these things. You can explain it to them, but it's like until you have to do it, you're never going to understand how it works. And not everybody can handle the pressure.
Paying their dues. That's what I called it. You pay your dues.
That comes with it because it's a lot. I understand what it's like to run up and down with bags in the hot heat mm-hmm. and garment bags are like mm-hmm. draped over your hand and they're like, it's like sweating and you feel gross. And I also know what it's like to go through like a sort of a blizzard to the post office to mail off packages that need to go off or, you know, you have to do it in order to get it, you know, staying up. Stylists, they don't sleep. And I really, really don't sleep.
Yeah.
If there's a photo shoot in the next day, more than likely, they're probably going to sleep maybe a few hours. I mean, it depends on what type of team you have as well and, mm-hmm. you know, how prepped the shoot is. But every shoot is not always fully, 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 fully prepped. And there will always be last-minute pulls. There are always going to be things that you're calling in the very last minute. Those urgent emails. Hey, can you send this directly to set? There's always going to be, can you send directly to set? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. we couldn't get it yet. Because
a lot of people think that it's all glamorous.
It's not.
When they,
it's not. It becomes that way eventually, but after I feel like you throw all your chains in, you do all that stuff, Run that rodeo, and then, you know, you'll reap the benefits.
I remember back, this was the early 2000s when I lived in New York, and I had this makeup job, and it was earlier in the career, and, you know, it's the paying the dues kind of time because I was new to New York, and you got to get your name out there, and so you're doing jobs for free, and you're working on a rooftop in the midsummer blazing heat with tar, and you feel like you're melting into the floor. And like my metal boxes, me adjusting into the whole subway thing, my metal boxes on wheels and trying to go down the stairs and up the stairs and, you know, chugging along. And then you get home exhausted and you still feel great.
Your body hurts.
Yeah, your body is completely ready to beat you down personally. But you've done all of that for free. But you love what you do, and you know that you just got to kind of like put it in there because every opportunity could be the door to the next great opportunity, which is how it happened for me.
Yeah. My dad always says, all you need is one yes. He's like, you can get a million no's. He's like, but all you need is that one yes, and you can, you know, fast forward and plummet like what would have taken 5, 10 years or what you feel like what you've been doing. All of a sudden, and then suddenly you'll be right there.
And everything's wrong. And people will sometimes interpret that as like overnight success for you being on the outside when they're completely unaware of the sleepless nights, the tears,
the
prayer.
Like, I don't know how many times I have said, I'm never doing this again. This is it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm like, this is the last shoot. I'm like, why do I do this myself? I'm like, I'm done. Right. I'm done. I'm not going to do this again. No way. Every time I do this and, you know, you're crying, you have a mental breakdown. And you're like,
you're done.
Then you're like, get it together.
Until the sun rises the next day and you're like, that wasn't so bad.
And then you tell yourself and you gotta like pep talk yourself, like, get it together. You can do this. You wouldn't have been given this task if you wouldn't be able to handle it. So.
Yeah, that's so true. And then one of your most recent projects was with Alicia Keys. For Nylon magazine. What was that experience like?
Oh, I did. Alicia was with Fault.
With Fault magazine. Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. Okay, no, Fault magazine.
But Nylon did come out. That was fun too. That was, whew. God. it was amazing. It was amazing. I learned a lot. I'm not even gonna lie. I learned a lot. It took a lot out of me.
Good and bad?
Good and bad. But like, I, you know, it was another level of experience that I hadn't gotten yet, and it definitely, all the things before had prepared me, but this was a new realm, and it's like you're going through, like, the furnace and the fire. You know, in the Bible, they say, like, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, I literally felt like I was on fire at moments. I was like, oh, God, just hide me, please. Like, just take me into your wings. Like, just put, like, an invisible cloak over me so nobody can find me right now. Like, stop asking me questions. I don't know. You know, because I ended up being, like, the point person for, like, London and here, and it was so much. I hadn't dealt with that much before. I mean, luckily, also, we did it at the Dream downtown. You know, I have a really great relationship with them, so it's nice to feel like you did have some family on your side. Of course, my team was really, really great. They were so supportive in the midst of, like, you know, walking on new territory. You're not really sure what to expect. You're like, I don't know if it's going to go good. I don't know if it's going to go bad. I don't know if she's going to like me. I don't know if she's not going to like me. I don't know what her team is like. Like, you know, you're nervous. You're nervous because you want to do a good job. And, you know that this could make
or break.
I would say make or break because, you know, at the end of the day, I always say, as long as you do your absolute best, if you put everything you have into what you do, on that job, then you can walk away happy. It's when you half-ass it and say, you know what, you stop middle and you just quit. That's when you have a problem. But if you
and then you're looking back, gosh, I should have just spent a little extra time, or I should have done this.
And if you do everything that you can do, and then maybe for some reason it doesn't work out, at least you did everything that you knew you could.
Yeah, yeah.
That you cannot shame yourself. You cannot feel bad about it because you gave your all. And that's like really what it's about giving your all in every situation with every encounter
What's your opinion? Like right now, Alicia Keys is very much in the media, in addition for being a great artist and great individual, but doing the going natural and no makeup. Was this something that was a point of conversation during the shoot? Because she says that it's not something that a movement that she's starting. This is something that's more personal of her approach with being more natural and no makeup. And what's your opinion on that?
It is. I think she really is a good singer too, because it's like she's saying live on set, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. She's gorgeous, like gorgeous without makeup. And I think what she's aiming to do is to encourage people, women.
Yeah.
Because as women, we have so many insecurities, so many things to build up to live up to. I mean, we work in fashion, so clearly we have a lot of expectations to,
right.
You know, you're faced every day with expectations right in your face. Mm-hmm. Like it's there. There's no escaping it. There are so many media outlets and formats of communication that are fighting for your attention.
Right.
And always reminding you about how you should look and what you should be wearing.
And the scrutiny. Scrutiny. You're in such a vulnerable place.
Yeah. If you cannot fit in a size 6, if you cannot fit the sample size, all these things. So I think she's using it as a tool to encourage people. Also, because if you look across her career, I do remember a point when she was like this. And then I think, you know, media...
The industry calls for more.
Changes you and tries to make you something that you're not. And this is like her way of saying, no, this is me. This is me, and here I am again. It's like peeling off your shells and peeling off your layers just to get back down to the core.
I think it's such a powerful...
It is.
It's a powerful message, because with my goal, I have a girls initiative. And so this is so powerful in what she's doing with the platform that she has, because my focus with people and being in the fashion industry and, you know, beauty industry, it's all about creating that image or that superficial, I guess, kind of drapery for who we are when you're putting on the face and the hair and the clothes and all that stuff. But for me, working with so many people over so many years, I realized that as great as all of this looks as the end result, the inside, these people still are so insecure or weak about how they see themselves or who they see themselves as. So with girls, it's so important for me to get that message across, and for young women and older women too. You have to love you naked. You have to love you without anything on. And then all of these additional things are just the accessories, like playing dress up, but not necessarily looking at it as your crutch for survival. Exactly. You know, so her doing this, I think, is helping a lot of people. And it blows my mind with the people who are in an uproar about her personal choice about, you know, making this decision to not wear makeup. But I just think it's great. And I wanted to get your input on that too. Seeing that you've had that personal interaction with her.
I think it's amazing. And then she also, I mean, I saw a comment when, you know, she actually responded back into everyone who was, you know, commenting, and she's like, look, at the end of the day, do you. Like, just do you.
Right.
This is not me. I'm not telling you what to do. This is just me and how I am doing and how I would like to do it. And that's like, it's almost like there it is again. Like, people being so caught up.
Critical.
She's not trying to tell you what to do. She's showing you another side of life.
Yeah.
Been so used to being told that you have to do it, look like this. She's just reminding you, you don't have to do it. But at the end of the day, if you like putting on makeup, put on makeup. Just know that, you know, you are just as beautiful without it.
Exactly.
And it's a process. It's a process to learn to love yourself without the extra additives. You know, a lot of times, sometimes when people see you with less makeup on, they're like, hey, you look so nice. You're like, what? No.
Yeah. Like, who are you talking about?
Like, I only have a base. Like, our base and like highlighter, and that's it. No, it's like, yeah, well, you should wear that more often. You're like, are you serious?
And yeah.
I'm so shocked because you're like, how could anybody even look at me right now without?
Right.
You know, like, right. I was out there running one day and some guy came up to me and he was like, I don't intend to make interactions or chats with anybody while I'm out there. Because I'm like, this is my morning time. This is one time I go outside with no makeup and no one's going to catch me. You know, like, no one's
gonna I'm letting me. It rip.
He comes talking to me. And I'm like, trying to put my head up. I'm like, please don't even look at me right now. And I felt so, and it's like, it's crazy, but this is like how you've, you know, been for so long. Like, you're not used to wearing makeup. When someone talks to you and they think you look fine without it, you're like, are you sure you weren't?
You feel naked, like you have no clothes on your face.
You feel completely naked.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure that you're seeing straight? You know, because if I have to step outside with no makeup, it's going to be like a hat, sunglasses, like, you know, incognito. No one's going to see me in the flex. But, you know, and then when someone does recognize you and doesn't look at you like you're an ogre, you're like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
Are you surprised with how many celebrities or any of your clients, how many body image issues or insecurities that you've come across with over this 10-year period that you've been in the industry?
It's funny because actually now that I think about it, I haven't too much. I know that they exist. I know I have them myself.
Right.
I know that. I mean, I admit it's.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. Raising hand.
You know, it's. Oh my gosh. It's not easy. Like, yeah, especially when you used to be one size and then you're no longer that size and you have a stack of jeans that are the size that you used to be and you refuse to give them away because you're like, I'm working back that.
I will wear the. I have a pair of leather pants right now that are like, if you even put your leg in me again.
It's like you don't know what happened, but I've also learned that I feel like in times of your life, you're going to go through a little skinny phase. You're going to go through a little plumper stage. You're going to go through the stage where you go out with your boyfriend every night and you eat out and then you put on a little weight and then the two of you don't recognize that you guys are putting on weight because you're both fine with each other.
Right.
You love each other. So then all of a sudden you're like 10 pounds heavier and then all of a sudden it's wintertime and you're wearing leggings. So you're not really, you know, realizing that the leggings
your
legs and that like once you go try to put those jeans back on for summertime, they no longer fit the same, honey. Like, sorry. You're going to bust a thread on that.
Oh, my gosh. We're like the button and the loop are on either side of your belly button. And it's like not meeting in the middle.
Like, you know, you go through stages and then you realize that, hey, I don't mind being, you know, maybe a little bit heavier than stage. I will say this. If I had a goal, my little goal would be by the time I'm like up, like in the what's the cool new like hot, cougar stage of life. If I can be fit by that time, I'll be fine. Like, I'd rather be super fit then than super fit now than not then. You know what I mean? Like, if I were to choose, I'd rather enjoy my voluptuous side now and know that, you know, when I get up there that I'm going to be one of those, like, hot moms and, like, I think it's so cool that women at that age can, like, it's like they revamp and reboot and you're like, whoa, who are you? Like,
because
then there's just like this overwhelming confidence also that
comes. And this glow. Yeah.
It's a badass. You're amazing. Yeah. You're super fit. And because you stopped working out to have it like as a need or to meet a need, but rather as a lifestyle. Then you became and embraced it as a lifestyle. So then this is part of you. So eventually your whole body's going to retransform and reformat itself into this amazing goddess. And like, it will just be a part of you all the time.
And you do it for different reasons because now you're doing it and you love doing it because of how you feel mentally, physically, emotionally, instead of like, oh my gosh, the alarm's going off at 8 o'clock and I have to work out for 30 minutes and I hate it.
Like, you know, you have these like mental goals or like, I shouldn't eat this or I shouldn't eat that. Like, eventually it has to kind of all balance out. I mean, you know, you're going to go through stages in life, but for me, it's like, that's my goal. If I can get to that and be like fit And I say fit, fit and healthy.
Yeah.
I would forget about the numbers on the scale, fit and healthy, and
feeling good
about where you are as far as, you know, where you are with your body. And it's going to, nothing happens overnight. And that's, again, the same thing with fashion, the same thing with, like, fitness in your body. It doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take time. And if you put on weight over the last 2 years, like myself.
It's not coming off overnight.
It's going to take time. Like, you know, so for being from Miami, like, I come home, and my mom's like, what happened? I'm like, what? What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
And that's when you, and for some odd reason, going to Miami will really make you feel like you're just a little bit not in shape.
You get more self-conscious.
Yeah, you get a little more, because you're more naked, you know, in New York, you cover up more your back, like, you know, I wear t-shirts a lot, so I'm not even realizing, and then I come like a tank top or like a tank dress, I'm like, oh. Or those things are like
midi.
Same. Yeah.
You're like pulling the midi down, pulling the pants up, pulling the shirt down.
But it's not a bad thing, especially when, you know, someone checks you, like your family. They're just like, hey, you used to be in so in shape. What happened? Like, right. And that's like, it's a good thing to have those, like, I guess, checkers. At least.
The reality, the lovable, honest reality checkers.
Like, and then when you see it, it's always like a time reflection. You come into it to your own time. When you actually see it, you're like, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do with some extra, like, a run here, run there, you know. And that's okay. It's learning to better your body. Like, you only have one life. And, like, the healthier you are, the more fit you are, the longer you're going to live. That's just that's just the fact. Like,
because it doesn't matter. There's no perfect number. There's no perfect size. It's about loving where you are at this moment. And if there's changes or adjustments that you want to make, not being critical on yourself to the point where you're self-shaming yourself.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, love the skin you're in, love the body that you're in, and keep it moving.
Working towards whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You are working, you know, and you're, and the most of it, you're trying. You're trying.
Okay, so tell me this. Who are some of the celebs, or maybe one, that you wish that you could get into your lab for a complete overhaul? Like, you're scratching your fingers on the board every time you see them.
Oh, I can't say it. I love her too much.
Okay. Whenever I'm on here, I'm like, I'm not saying names. Okay. Well, just tell us about that. You don't have to say the name, but just tell us what you dislike or would love to change.
She's an amazing singer, and like, she's like one of the originals. Like, she's a foundational, like, no one has a voice like her or her hit a pitch like her,
right?
You know, so many formations and like inspirational things of like rainbows and fantasies.
Right.
She's just so amazing that I just, sometimes I'm just confused about who's in the closet with you. Right. I've actually seen her closet one time on TV, and it's so cool. It's huge. It's massive.
Right.
Massive. And I'm like, but who's buying your clothes?
Right.
It's confusing. I'm like, right. And it just feels like it hasn't changed all that much over the
time. Right. So what do you find?
Best idea, and I say that for every girl, tight and then sexy. Like, there's sexy and there's wearing, like, why are you suffocating in your clothes?
Right.
Nothing needs to be that tight. Like, nothing needs to be.
Yeah. There's that balance. There definitely is the balance, and there's definitely a lot of imbalance between what you think is sexy, but
too much taken out.
Yeah.
Too much up here, too much down there, too much out. Cover up a little bit. Like,
pull it in.
Pull back the reins. Pull back one.
Right. That whole thing about before you leave the house, check yourself and maybe take something off does not apply in all situations. Sometimes it's add more.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh, exactly.
What is one of the nightmare experiences that you've had as a stylist?
There's so many.
Oh. Okay.
On the list that I've let, I'm telling you, there are times when I was like, I am not, I quit. I many times I've quit over the last couple of years. I quit. Off of mine. So one of the first things that is you worry about when you're pulling clothes, you are being entrusted with a lot. A lot. Mm-hmm. People don't really understand that concept. You're being entrusted with a lot. And if you're on such a big shoot with such a prestigious magazine where they will allow you to, say, maybe borrow jewelry or so forth, you know, they will send guards. Mm-hmm. Guards are great because it's their responsibility to watch everything like a hawk. So you can worry a little bit less, which is great. But in the event that you don't have those things and, you know, again, part of figuring out styling here in New York is, like, you know, picking up clothes and arranging for messengers and having a place mm-hmm. for things to go to. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, you try different options and things, and not everything works out. And then maybe one day you lose something, but not even you. It was the couriers that you entrusted, and they've lost something that is now worth a lot. And oh, God.
But that falls back on you.
Yes, it does. And like when you're doing shipments too, like from other countries, you know, you request things, you know, what you request is not always what you get. You get what you get, you know, so sometimes you don't realize that they're going to be sending you so many things, or maybe you never got a confirmation about that. So you didn't have no idea it was on the way. Anyhow, so, you know, you lose something and then it turns out that there was like 8 things in the box. You're like, oh my gosh, like, you didn't lose a box of like not so expensive stuff. No, you lost a box of like really expensive stuff. And now you're thinking about, I'm going to have my parents sell their house.
Like, oh my gosh.
I'm going to have to like work the stripper pole. Like, you're thinking of all these horrible things. You're like, I'm going to go to jail. They're going to take me away in handcuffs. I'm never going to work again. Everyone's going to know about this.
Like, while you're curled up in the corner biting your nails and crying.
I was on the kitchen floor on the phone crying, feeling like life was over.
Oh my gosh.
Over. Like that, those are nightmares.
Those are moments. Nightmares.
I've actually gone sweeping through hail, snow, mm-hmm. and rain to look for a piece of like a brooch one time.
Yeah.
That fell off from the girl's hair and backtracked for the house up and down. These things are going to happen, and like you either going to be prepared for it or you're going to fall apart like a
You have to pray it out. You have to pray. Yeah. Write it out and you pray it out.
Talk to God. And honestly, like having that center, having that Holy Spirit center is what keeps you from not losing your mind and what keeps you from reminding yourself, like, I can do all things.
Yeah.
I can do all things. You know, he's bigger than this problem, and he's gonna fix this. Like, I don't know how, and I find that honesty is usually the best policy when it comes to these things. Sometimes people are like, they're trying on things, and something rips. That's the worst sound you could hear. The bend. Like, oh God! You're like,
you don't want to make eye contact. You don't want to make.
You look at it, you're like, don't move an inch.
Right.
You're like, no, don't bend down. No, just stay still. I got this. Just don't move, please. Because if you rip it anymore, I might not have like a house to live in tomorrow.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And those are things, but you know, I find that when you're just honest about them mm-hmm. and be upfront, it usually works out. And I think the PRs appreciate your honesty and not trying to like swindle or backhand.
Right.
Or,
and that's one of the things that I was going to ask you for the listeners and for listeners who want to get into styling. Like, what's the advice? What's great advice that you can give over your experience throughout the years to them? And honesty is definitely a key thing. But how do you, in the industry, how do you cultivate these relationships between designers and showrooms and being invited to the shows? Like Fashion Week, it's such a huge thing and you see people there all the time. And you're wondering, okay, is this invitations? Do you buy tickets to go to these shows, or how does that work?
It definitely takes, it took time. Like I said, I started out at interview and I would say sometimes I thought I was done learning. I'm like, I don't need another internship. Mm-hmm. Every internship helped so much. It brought me just a little bit further, taught me one or two more things. I learned how to function this business. It's like, and now I've figured out how to do production casting, market research, market request, follow-ups, bookings, location scouting.
Right.
You learn to do a lot, and then it's you have to build these relationships. They don't happen overnight.
Right.
And like, and when I think you realize you've been doing it for a while, when you realize, when you see someone's name float from company to company, you're like, oh, hey, so now you're over here at like this PR company. It's so great to see you. But you know, that's because you know the names and these people, they work with you. I think having, being good about your returns is always a good thing. The way you handle business, timing, just being in communication with them in the best way possible.
So you maintain your relationships.
Yeah, maintain relationships as well. And, you know, but especially like when you're doing shoots, if they tell you they need something back first thing in the next morning, you make sure you have that thing ready first thing for them. Because
so you have to be reliable.
Yeah, a good run will help for the next time. And once they help you with one thing, they see your progress too. You know, and they'll be willing and wanting to help you and lend you things and get you stuff for your shoot when, as you've been working with them over time. Working with other stylists, you know, that's the best experience you can get, because if they have the time, if you have the will and the patience and the desire to learn, they will teach you. And that's what I try and do. I try and teach them and show them, like, and you know, some people have an eye for it and some people can do it. Not everybody can handle being on the emails. It's a lot.
Right.
You know, you open your, sometimes I'm afraid to open the email. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want
to. Because it's so involved.
It's so many emails to go through.
Yeah.
To reply to everybody. I have so many tags and labels in my email. It's crazy. Like, you've got everything labeled and you've got who to respond to, but it's a lot to handle if you're not, you know,
organized.
Yeah. If you're not organized and you don't have like, and each time you do something, you find another way to do it better. Each time you have a job, you're like, okay, well, now I know how to fix this, or I know where I can do better with this. You understand your timing better. You understand which outlets to reach out to if you are low on time, or if you're working with a publication that's maybe not as well known. Like, you learn who to go to. And then when press appointments and Fashion Week comes around, and that's when more relationships get formed.
So do you think it's a necessity for stylists to attend these fashion shows? And networking for any industry is such an important thing. Do you find that these networking events and, you know, the happy hour, the event inspired happy hours, and again, the shows, are these a necessity to stylists out there for them to attend these different things, or can they get by without getting in on everything that's going on?
It's like both, because I feel like you don't really have, if you're not a party person, if you're not a person who likes to go out, your work will still speak for itself.
Okay.
And because some people are social butterflies, some people are, and some people like to go out and enjoy being out all the time and like to be at every single event, you know?
Yes.
They don't want to miss a beat. And some of us have been to so many parties that you're like, it's not going to be the end of the world if I miss this one.
Right.
Because there's always going to be another party. There's
you can
always
weed them out. Be event.
This is not the end. If you miss this show, there will be shows next season. Fashion Week, will not end. It will continue over and over and over and over again. And it's actually year round. So
yeah,
you're not ever going to be missing something. So I feel like, you know, for those who may not be able to attend or don't like always going to parties, it's okay. Because mm-hmm. if you're good, if you're that good, you don't have to go to every knock and drum and, you know, that
call. Everything but going on.
You don't, because your work will speak for itself and they'll reach out to you and people will know you just the same.
So for our listeners, what are a few staple pieces that you recommend for every wardrobe, regardless of one's personal style?
I would say you've got to have a pair of good kicks.
Mm-hmm. Kicks. And kicks are, for those who don't know what that is.
Yeah, I would say a good pair of sneakers. You need a good pair of sneakers that fit your style, that can kind of go with everything. Mm-hmm. I am one who pairs sneakers with everything, and I mean everything. Mm-hmm. Like a sparkly dress, a sequined skirt, or leggings and a cool t-shirt. I love sneakers. Right. They're also very comfortable. So, you know, you need a good pair of sneakers. You need a good pair of boots. Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan of Doc Martens. Always have been. Uh-huh. also, Eugenia Kim. Amazing. Oh, and you need a good hat. So there's also your hat factor. Hats. A good hat is always nice to have, especially when fall rolls around.
Right.
One good, like a fedora or a nice wide brim.
Because that becomes your statement as well. It kind of identifies your personal style.
It does. And you'll find that, like, you know, you change your wardrobe for spring, summer, and everything. Like, and each season you're like, okay, well, what do I want to do this season? Don't want to go for, like, all blacks. I want to go for, like, nudes. A leather jacket. Definitely have to have a leather jacket in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's, like, an essential. That's an essential. I would say a pair of cool jeans. That's as if you are in the jean factor right now or not. But
Which is so huge. I love the jean element right now because you can have everything's happening at the same time. You have the frayed, you have the ripped, you have the high-waisted, you have acid wash, you have the dark blues. So regardless of your personal style or what you might there's something out there for everybody.
There's something for everybody. Diesel, hardcore favorite. Frame is awesome as well. I have a good flare and a good high waist. I feel like those are two. A good flare, high waist, and a skinny. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong right there.
Is there a piece that you always start with when you are building a look, or one that you recommend to someone?
I really love, t-shirts and blazers. So either like rock and roll t-shirts, like junk food t-shirts, mm-hmm. are always really cool. They'll have AC/DC or Aerosmith.
Yeah.
I love a good rock and roll t-shirt.
They're like statement t-shirts, something that's going on the t-shirt.
Yeah, something that's going on. And a nice blazer. A blazer that has a print that is maybe a vintage blazer, something that's like an eye pop.
Right.
Something that's going to contrast from the t-shirt, but mm-hmm. add a kick. Nice added element, I think, all the time.
What's your favorite trend right now?
besides the sneaker trend that I love, Norm Core that took over the world. I love it.
I used to do
flip flops, like flip flops, the sliders, those like beach sliders. I'm like, yes,
comfort. I was like the heel girl. Huh? And, you know, after years, and even when you're working sometimes because of the environment, you throw on your heels and stuff and your feet are like ready to eat you alive when you're done. But I got into the sneaker factor maybe about a year and a half ago, and I'm so happy. I'm just like, my feet are happy, which makes me happy. But definitely the sneaker, I will second you on that. And I have, I'm like, if I have to wear sneakers, they still have to be funky. So mine right now that I'm adoring are gold shiny sneakers.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. No, yeah, a good sneaker can also make your outfit and just make it pop. Yes. Like seriously, seriously make it pop, which is why I feel like they're just so essential, just the same.
So what's your quick advice to our listeners that you would give to people if you can't afford to work with a stylist, but they're trying to get their personal style together? Like, what are the two tips that you would give them to getting started and identifying their personal style?
I would say start with the basics. Start with, like, and it could be something that was maybe like a childhood favorite in a weird way, if that makes any sense. I grew up watching Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter is Dead and Troop Beverly Hills. And I look back and I realize that those were really key elements as to my style. I'm like forgetting her name, but Shelley Long in Troop Beverly Hills was always so extravagant. So extravagant. And she just was over the top in her fur and her amazing blazers. And that's where I get a lot of that from. And then there was, you know, super cool, blanking on her name again, Christina Applegate, and her mixing of prints and graphics. And that's another influence that is strongly, I mean, I was definitely influenced by those two movies a lot. That's where I was talking from. So I think finding something that is iconic for you is a really good base. I have like tons of leopard in my closet. I have lots of leopard. There's a lot of leopard pieces, which comes from, I think, all that, like Dynasty.
But like you pull your inspiration. And that, I think a lot of times people are like, oh, well, I don't want to be a duplicate of this. But there's a difference between pulling inspiration and then, you know, becoming like a carbon copy of something.
And also, it was not just what they wore, but it was who these women were. That kind of influence. I mean, and that's, again, like how like it all comes together. But it was who they were and who they represented in these films that made them like that way.
And
like
picture.
That created that entire picture along with what they wore. But it was who they were.
Yeah.
The two went hand in hand. So you're just taking, you obviously identify pieces of yourself in them. Mm-hmm. That's why you feel attracted to what they're wearing and what you're being, you know, shown and so forth.
Chanel, thank you so, so much for allowing us inside of your stylish life. Before you go, tell everyone where they can find you to see your amazing work.
You can always find me at ChanelBrown.com. My studio is Coco Brown Studio 21. Mm-hmm. Lux Obsessions, where I write crazy random things sometimes. And on Instagram, Coco Chanel or Sapphire Lux on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Okay. But like, on the cover.
And so are all your links on your website? So if they go to ChanelBrown.com, everything they can feather out from there.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you. Oh my gosh, I had such an amazing time talking to you.
Well, we can like recap and pick up next week.
Yes.
Really good time talking.
Yeah, great. And all the best to the rest of the Fashion Week and all that you have ahead of you. And get some rest when you're done and do not rest at Hedonism. Trust. Guys, you have been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazan, and as I always tell you, you have the right and you deserve to live beautiful and empowered. We heard some amazing tips today from Chanel, not only about her day-to-day encounters, but her life as a stylist and the process of how she went through and the journey to becoming the stylist that she is today. And she's so incredible and inspirational. And just a quick recap is she said your must-haves, if you're starting out and trying to get your wardrobe together, kicks are the number one. And for those who aren't sure what kicks are, those are sneakers, boots, hat, your leather jacket, and jeans of your liking and style of your liking. And if you're going to do it with a t-shirt and a blazer. Her tips are fantastic. And if you want any more information on her, again, she's at ChanelBrown.com. And you can find her on Instagram from all of her links and Twitter. And if you have any additional questions that you would love for us to ask her, feel free to get in contact with us at the show. And have an amazing, amazing day. You've been listening to The Skinny again with me, Shazan. Stay tuned.